Welcome everyone to the Boca en Inglés podcast. This is your host Gabriel Aguero. Here to recap our second loss in a row, back-to-back loss. Boca fell to Lanús 2-1 in La Bombonera just a couple of hours ago. It's almost 11 at night here in New York, and I'm recording. This is gonna be another solo podcast, which should be on the shorter end once again. But yeah, I'm here to discuss that match, what was a very disappointing match, and what most fans feel like the 11 that played today, especially in certain positions, the difference between the substitute or the backup to the actual starter is tenfold, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. But Boca fielded a mixed 11 with Andrada in goal. Andrada back from the national team. He didn't get any playing time with Argentina. He was backup to Armani in both of their matches. The defense consisted of Leonardo Jara, Lisandro López, Carlos Zambrano, and Emmanuel Mas. In midfield, Diego Pulpo González made his first team debut for Boca Juniors. I know he came in against Newell's for a couple of minutes, but this was the first game he started. Alongside him was Jomar Campuzano. In front of them were Sebastián Villa, Mauro Zárate, Gonzalo Maroni, and Ramón Ávila. So definitely a mixed 11. It's not the 11 that we've become accustomed to seeing, you know, win match after match. But it seems like, once again, it's a tale of two halves, this game specifically. It feels like I'm saying this almost every podcast, but I don't think I've seen Boca play such a terrible, terrible half of football under Miguel Ángel Russo. I said that against Newell's, and then I said the same thing against Talleres, and now I'm saying the same thing once again, and this time against Lanús. The first half from Boca keeps getting worse and worse and worse as the weeks go by. This half was absolutely atrocious, and I'm not even joking when I say atrocious. It was really, really, really bad. The team was so stretched out. It left gaping holes in the middle, literally everywhere, all over the pitch, really stretched out. The defense had gaping holes, literally. This is how Lanús's first goal came about. I think it was Orsini who scored the first goal for Lanús. He slipped right in between Licha López and Zambrano. Pedro de la Vega put in a really nice ball to him, and it kind of shocked Andrada. He slipped right between both of our center backs and got in the box with ease and literally just had to tap the ball in. That's how easy their first goal was, but completely avoidable. Like I said, the team was very stretched out. Defense was absolutely atrocious and really no ideas whatsoever going forward. There's absolutely nobody who could generate really any concrete plays, any realistic goal-scoring opportunities. I was listening to a couple of shows after the game, and Gonzalo Maroni was actually getting a lot of stick from the fans. And rightly so, he played pretty bad in my opinion. But to be fair and to be honest with him, it's not really his position. He's not a left mid. He's not a left winger. I think at one point in the game, they even switched him over to the right side and Villa over to the left, and he's still not a right winger or a right mid. Gonzalo Maroni, before he went ahead and played for Talleres on loan 2 years ago and then Italy on loan last year for Boca, and throughout his academy career with a club in Córdoba, he was always a center attacking midfielder. He always played behind the striker. He played the playmaker role. So I'm sitting here thinking, instead of having Mauro Zárate in the middle behind Ramón Ávila, and this is a Zárate who, I'll get into him a little bit more later, but instead of having Zárate there, why don't you put Maroni there? Have Maroni play the Tevez position, the center forward position, the playmaker position, whatever you want to call it, with a striker in front of him and see how he does. I think going forward, if we're going to play a mixed 11, or a second string lineup, instead of exposing Maroni on either side of the wings, because he's never played that position. He obviously doesn't feel comfortable there. I mean, he was substituted in the second half. So instead of playing him there, why don't you play him in the Carlos Tevez position as the playmaker, right behind the lone striker? In this case, replace Mauro Zárate and then force Mauro Zárate to play on the wings, even though that's not his natural position either. So I feel like Boca, and I've said this on the podcast, we have an unbalanced squad. We have too many players in certain positions and not enough players in other positions. Mauro Zárate, in this case, very selfish on a couple of plays where he could have played a teammate a very good ball and lead him off to a goal, and instead he ended up losing the ball. He lost the ball a couple of times there, but he really didn't generate any threat. I think he had like one shot on goal. And I said this on Twitter, Mauro Sadete has a handful, literally a handful of minutes played in 2020 because Miguel Angel Russo sees him as Carlos Tevez's backup, and Tevez has played in tremendous, has been in tremendous form all this year. So Mauro Sadete has had his minutes reduced tremendously. He's barely seen any playing time. So this is his realistic chance of proving as to why, you know, he should perhaps play over Tevez. Or maybe say, hey, I'm just as good. I deserve more playing time. And, you know, make the coach, you know, really decide between Sadete or Tevez. But Sadete really didn't take advantage today. He was absolutely poor. So Hatem Mija, if you guys remember from last week's or earlier this week's podcast, I said against Stajidis, he lost the ball 30 times. At halftime, so Hatem Mija had lost possession 21 times. Absolutely ridiculous. I mean, the amount of times we lost the ball and gave it away to Lanús and really facilitated their counterattacks is just unbelievable. The half was just atrocious. The only player I can really pick out that did well, or only two players, is Lisandro López. He was actually a rock in defense. We conceded twice, but both goals were really not his fault. The second goal, Zambrano was just had his legs twisted by Orsini, I believe his name was, who scored a double earlier today. He had his legs twisted in the box. He fell. Orsini really outdid Zambrano there and shot towards Andrada's far post and ended up scoring the second for Lanús. In the first half, it was, yes, at 45 minutes right before halftime. So, and then Campuzano, I mean, it wasn't a standout match from him, but he had, some really good moments in the game, especially in the second half. Well, the whole team picked up really in the second half, but he had some moments in the game where, he won a ton of balls and just really played the ball forward and tried to get something going there for his teammates, but, you know, everybody struggled with him. And then in the second half, things started to change a bit. Actually, before we go into the second half, let me stick with the first half. Leonardo Lojara and Emmanuel Mas, and I said this on Twitter, and I'm going to say it here, they just really don't have what it takes to play for such a massive club such as Boca Juniors. And those two are mainly the two positions where the difference between the substitute and the starter is abysmal. The difference is just tremendous. And in this day and age, you need your fullbacks to join in on attacks and create opportunities and create options for you know your playmaker, really for the rest of the team. Leonardo Jara and Emmanuel Mas barely join in on attack. When they do, they almost seem useless, like they don't know where to go, where they're headed. And to top that off, they really can't defend. I'm not even kidding, they do not have what it takes, and I really don't care anymore. They do not have what it takes to play for this football club. I've been sort of being nice on them, and you know, I don't want to be so blunt, but it's really gotten to a point. I mean, Emmanuel Mas has been through three coaches at this club. He's been with Boca for 3 years, and he just can't. He has always played the same. Absolutely, I can't even think of maybe one or two matches in the 10s and 20s and 30s and 40s matches that you know that he's played, that he's actually played well. It's just Boca needs to find. I mean, a lot of people were calling for, you know, whoever plays the right back for the reserve team has to be better than Emmanuel Mas. I mean, I forget the player's name, but you know, why not use him instead of Emmanuel Mas? I mean, it's just undefendable at this point. Emmanuel Mas and Leonardo Jara. And Jara actually played well against Tajeres, but he played in the middle of the field in that double pivot, double number five position. He actually played pretty well there. So maybe he could be used as an alternative there. But as right back, his natural position, he just really doesn't do well at all. And this was seen in the second half. So we have, right at halftime, Cardona replaced Maroni, and Nico Capaldo replaced Pulpo Gonzalez. Pulpo Gonzalez, who really looked really, really slow. He didn't look fit whatsoever. He didn't look in shape. And he really struggled against Lanús' midfield today. So Capaldo changed the dynamic in midfield. It was much more aggressive alongside Campuzano. And Cardona offered, you know, that playmaking style that he has. You know, he is... his killer passes, his threaded balls. He played Villa a lot, a couple of times. I think Villa benefited from Cardona entering the pitch. There was a couple of instances where Cardona switched the ball over to Villa, and Villa was able to beat his man and ended up deciding better than he did on in the first half. He ended up finishing off a couple of plays much, much better. So Villa did pick it up in the second half, I must say. And then we saw another substitution in the 71st minute. Bufarini replaced Jara, and you could see the change almost immediately. I mean, granted, Lanús in the 70th minute, around there, 65th, 70th minute, they let their foot off the gas. But you could see the changes immediately. You put in three starters like Bufarini, Cardona, and Capaldo, arguably starters, and the dynamic changes completely. We saw a completely different team in the second half. And I'm sure, you know, Miguel Ángel Russo ripped them a new one at halftime because the performance in the first half was completely unacceptable. So we saw a different dynamic. We saw a bunch of opportunities. And I think overall, over the course of the full 90 minutes, I think the most fair result was the draw. Lanús completely ran over us in the first half. And I think Boca more so ran over them in a large part of the second half. Lanús still had a couple of good breakaways in the second half to put this match to bed. I know when the game was 2-0, I think 5 minutes into the second half, they had a solid, solid opportunity to really kill the game off and make it 3-0. But I think the ball went just wide of the post. Maybe Andrada got his fingertips on it. I can't remember. But the second half was mostly in Boca's favor. We created plenty of opportunities towards the last 5-10 minutes. I mean, we saw Lisandro López starting off a play from the back and shooting straight upfield. And there was one opportunity. I think the game was already 2-1. Ávila had already scored, where Villa puts in a sweet cross from Lisandro López, and Lisandro gets a sweet, sweet header. And the goalkeeper absolutely does phenomenal to get to the end of that ball and block it. His name is Lautaro Morales. He did absolutely phenomenal, really, all game. He had a couple of excellent, excellent saves, that man. But this one was in the last 5 minutes. It was the 2-2. I thought, you know, there's no way this ball doesn't go in, because Lisandro López got to it phenomenally and really got a nice header in. But Lautaro Morales really got a fantastic save, you know, even a better save than the header itself. So we saw instances like that, but really just a bunch of plays created overall in the second half. Unfortunately, Boca fall once again, back-to-back defeats. I can't remember the last time Boca conceded two goals in the first half. I think, if I'm thinking quick, I think it was against Tigre in that final that we lost to them 2-0, where Boca conceded two goals in the first half. But yeah, it's surprising. I mean, we haven't. It's interesting to see, because we get to see how Miguel Ángel Russo handles the situation, along with, you know, the footballing department. This is back to back losses. We lost our first match under Russo against Tajeres last Sunday, and now we lose another match. So back to back against Lanús, and really this blows Group 4 in the Copa de la Liga Profesional right open. So we have, as I read off the standings, Tajeres in first with 7 points, Boca in second with 6 points, Lanús in third with 4 points, and Newell's in fourth with 3 points. We have to remember, Boca and Lanús played today, so they have 4 games played. And Tajeres and Newell's have 3 games played. They play on Monday night. Now, Boca is in a really sticky situation, because this Wednesday we play the first leg of the round of 16 of the Copa Libertadores, and then we host Newell's. So we can already anticipate against Newell's we will see a really alternative 11 or a mixed 11, you know, something similar to today. I really hope not. I hope there's at least some modifications to today's 11 if it's going to be something similar to play against Newell's. But it's a sticky situation, because now if we lose against Newell's, then we have 1 game left to Tajeres away in Córdoba, which is a tough trip. It's a sticky situation. We want to get top 2 in order to go into the bracket where we continue to challenge for the Copa de la Liga Profesional. If we get 3rd or 4th place, we go into a different bracket where we compete for a chance in the, I think it's the 2022 Copa Sudamericana, if I'm not mistaken, which is below the club standards. Obviously, we always compete for the Copa Libertadores. But we already have a ticket for next year's Copa Libertadores. So really, all in all, this championship means absolutely nothing to our club. It's just a championship to adjust the schedule because of the pandemic, obviously. But it's still, I mean, we can't get eliminated in the first round. We absolutely cannot. And it's a sticky situation because we started off well with two wins. I think the best case scenario is Newell's and Tajitas draw on Monday night. That would be great. And Boca get 4 points from six, from the final six. So maybe a win against Newell's and then a tie to Tajitas or vice versa, whatever. We just have to get top two. We can't be eliminated so easily. One team that was already eliminated and four games in is Racing, one of the big five, and they're getting a lot of stick in the media. The fans aren't happy. They're not doing all too well. So we can't follow the same path, obviously. Our standards are much, much different. But it's a tough situation. I don't think anybody really anticipated. I mean, the streak of, you know, not losing any matches was going to end sooner or later. I'm glad to say that it happened sooner rather than later, because like I said last week or in the podcast earlier this week, the pressure would have continued to grow of, you know, not losing a match. Boca hadn't lost a match in 11 months. That is tremendous. Again, granted, there was a break in the middle because of the pandemic, but still, that number is tremendous. So it's like I said, it's a sticky situation. This Wednesday, we visit Inter for the first round, like I already said, of the Copa Libertadores round of 16. I'm going to quickly read off the expected starting 11. There might be one or two adjustments, but I feel like this is a pretty good guess. At least this is what's been in the news today. So we have Andrada in goal, defense, Bufarini, Lopez, Izquierdos, and Fabra. In midfield, Villa, Capaldo, Campuzano, and Cardona. And up top, we have Tevez and Soldano. There might be one or two modifications as a surprise, last-minute surprise, but largely that is the team that's going to go out and play the first leg of the round of 16 against Internacional. Now, if it were up to me, if I were the coach, I would put a really, really strong 11 at home to Newell's on Sunday night in order to not really jeopardize our chances of progressing into the next round of the Copa de Liga Profesional. I would probably, you know, from this starting 11 that is likely to play against Inter, I would probably make an adjustment with Carlos Tevez, maybe an adjustment in midfield with Cardona, maybe give him some rest, find a replacement there. Maybe we could give one of the youngsters who was projected to start against Newell's, so Ceballos, maybe Ceballos could play as left wing over Cardona, and maybe we could try Maroni in Tevez's position, and then everybody obviously remains the same. Maybe we could try Avila over Soldano against Newell's. So maybe two or three substitutions. But these players really need to get adjusted, really need to learn to play once every 3 to 4 days. I mean, it's inexcusable that we have to play an overwhelming second-string lineup against against Lanús and Tajeres, and almost jeopardize our chances of progressing into the next round. I think that's what worries fans the most, because in terms of numbers, and I was having a chat with my uncle, who's a Tajeres fan, he said, oh, Boca will be all right. They have two teams, even three teams. In terms of numbers, yes, it's true. Boca do have two or three teams, but as we already saw, that the teams aren't the same. They're not as competitive. In terms of quality, it's not the same. Like I said, and I'm going to pick on them again, Leonardo Jara and Emmanuel Mas, they're part of the second string lineup. They don't have the quality to play for a team like Boca Juniors. Tajeres and Lanús ran rampant through both of them. Jara played in the middle of the park, so I'm being a little bit unfair to him. But in terms of Emmanuel Mas, every time he goes out there, he gets completely obliterated by whatever team we're playing against. So I think that's what worries fans the most. We need a really solid backup, fullbacks. And I think Emmanuel Mas, his contract runs up in June of 2021. The same thing with Bufarini. So Boca are really going to have to target a couple players in the fullback position, both left and right, in the next upcoming 1 to 2 transfer markets. I think this podcast is about 20 minutes in. That's all I have for you guys. I gave you the expected or projected 11 against Inter. So hopefully we get a good result from Brazil. Boca tend to do so. And Internacional are really going through a tough time right now. They're not in their best form. Their third string goalkeeper and their head coach, their new head coach, actually have tested positive for COVID. So you can imagine that's going to really dampen their chances of preparing as they would like for this match. So, I mean, in all fairness, we're really not going through our best time right now this past week with back-to-back defeats. But I think, you know, this is a club with a mentality of putting these games behind us and really going out for the best result we can get in Brazil. So thank you guys for tuning in. It's been a pleasure, and hopefully we get a good result from Brazil. We'll probably be recording after that match on Wednesday night. I haven't decided if I want to record after the match on Wednesday or wait ahead and record after the match on Sunday against Newell's. I haven't decided yet, so we'll see. If I had to guess, I think it'd probably be best because of my new schedule, new job, and everything. I'll probably be willing to record on Wednesday night after the game against Inter. So we'll see. But thank you guys for tuning in, and until next time.